Would you join me in prayer, please? Passionate God, awesome Almighty, we praise you. We worship as our ancestors. We worship as our children do. We thank you for blessings of the church, this congregation, our neighbor churches, your faithful around the world. Guide us, we pray, that we might be as fiery as the first church, that we might love as large as you. Jesus, wisdom, child of God, son of man, we are blessed to know your stories. We are blessed with your comfort, your healing, your mercy, your calling upon our lives. Help us hear, help us know, help us follow. Wind of Spirit, breath of God, thank you for birth and rebirth, for kindling and sparks, for fuel and flames that keep us going. May all around us notice your fire, your peace, your music, your love. We pray all this in the silent prayers of our hearts, in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would the children come forward, please? What color are things decorated with today? Lindsay?
Red.
Red! Does anybody know why? Cora, what's today called? Do you know? Do you remember? Alex, do you know? It's called Pentecost. And Pentecost was a festival for the Jews. It was 50 days after Passover. But on Pentecost, after Jesus had risen, the disciples had been waiting, and they'd been waiting because Jesus told them to wait until the Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit, the part of God that we can't see, that's with us and helps us and makes things happen, that's called the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, wait for it. Wait for the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter will come, and then you will have power. And his followers were gathered, and suddenly they heard a noise like a hurricane, like a tornado, a huge wind it sounded like. But instead of being scary, it felt wonderful. And they saw something that was coming on each person. And later they were trying to describe it, and they said it was almost like tongues of fire on each person. And so those images are what we remember when we remember that the Spirit came upon the first followers of Jesus, and that power spread His word, His lessons, His teachings, His love, all across the Middle East, and then it kept spreading and kept spreading because the Holy Spirit was upon all those people. So today is the day we celebrate, we remember that the Holy Spirit came upon the church, and we say that that's the birthday of the church. So what we're going to do today is we're going to help celebrate, we're going to help remember. And what we're going to do is we're going to make things that we can wave like this, okay? And I have enough here for everybody to make one of these. And we're all just going to pitch in. Each one's got to have three streamers on it, all right? You get two of these. Come on down. Come on, we're going to make these. All right. We're going to put streamers on them with the tape. Me, lots of tape. Take some tape. Three streamers. Come on. Stick them on. Who's ready for tape? Ready for tape? Do you think it was noisy that day? You need some more? Ready for some more? Oh, you having trouble sticking it on? There you go. You ready? There you go. They said that everybody, even people from distant lands, from Africa, from all over Asia, did you get all yours? You got all yours? Here's another one. There you go. You got all three of them? Okay, now you got to do another one. If you want two of them, do you want two of them? Here. You want to start that one? There you go. We need some streamers, don't we? We got enough streamers? I think we do. Yeah. They said that even people from foreign countries, they heard the disciples preaching in their languages. The Holy Spirit gave them power to speak the language of other people so everybody could understand. You need another one? There you go. We got enough? You need the tape. Oh, there you go. They kind of look like jellyfish. They kind of look like jellyfish. They do. Which you want? You need this or that? You need both, don't you? There you go. One more. There you go. You need more tape? There you go. So, what are we celebrating today?
Pentecost.
Pentecost, yeah. Everybody got tape now? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to take some of these out. You lay yours down for a second. We're going to take these out and give them to your family or other grown-ups. All right? So we have some of these waving around. I made some last night. So put yours down for just a minute, and then you're going to go give these out so people can wave them. All right, go ahead and wave them out. Give them out. Yeah, you got family to give them to, don't you, Matt? There you go. Go ahead. Hand them out. Hand them out to people. Okay, then pick up yours. Where's yours? Get yours. There you go. Pick yours up. Come on, Alex. Give it to you. Come on. Get yours. We're walking. Come on, pick them up. Pick up both of them. Come on. Thank you. Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can feel your presence through the Holy Spirit anytime, anywhere. We thank you for the power, for the courage that the Holy Spirit gives us. We thank you for this birthday of the church. We thank you for these children and their families and all who love and care for them. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, Mrs. Hoffman and Drew have plans for you downstairs, so you're welcome to go down with her. Thank you for coming up, and you can keep these.
Thank you.
from the New Testament. Jesus was gone and they were waiting. He told them to wait for the Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." From the book Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2. My message this morning is called Peaceful Power. The story from Numbers 11 that Bev read. A young man ran to tell Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying." What is the implication? Why is he tattling? Why is he tattling on these new prophets? They are speaking God's wisdom out of order. They are preaching without authorization. Joshua said, "My Lord Moses, stop them. Eldad and Medad are prophesying." And what did Moses reply? "Hooray. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put the Spirit on them." Moses was delighted. "More power to them, more power to us." What a crazy notion. Just anybody prophesying. What if just anyone might suddenly start prophesying, speaking God's wisdom and truth? Who among us should be prophesying? We certainly have lots of opinions about who should not be prophesying. How dare he think he should speak to council? He's only 12 years old. She has no right. She's a woman. He never even graduated from high school. How dare he stand up and make a spectacle of himself? She cannot be a prophet, not with her background. Yet what did Moses say when he was told Eldad and Medad are prophesying? "My Lord Moses, stop them." What did Moses reply? "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put the Spirit on them." This community had been grumbling about Moses, to Moses, about everything. You brought us out of the gardens of Egypt to starve. There's no veggies. There's no meat. We are eating manna, scooping this dust off the ground, for heaven's sake. We just cannot imagine what would possess the Israelites to grumble and whine at Moses. None of us ever complained about our church. No. None of us has ever complained about our leadership. No. Well, the children of Israel had been rescued from an Egyptian king who had ordered their children killed. Crossing the sea, they were saved from Pharaoh's armies and chariot. In the desert heat, they were blessed with water enough for their flocks and their families. Every single morning, they were blessed with manna, nutritious food enough for the day. They were blessed with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, the visible presence and guidance of the Spirit of God all day long, all night long. Yet what came out of their mouths? Did they sing praises? Did they bow down in thanksgiving? They were so accustomed to complaining. They ran to Moses complaining because two of their own were speaking with wisdom. Two of their own were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Moses was not a perfect shepherd. No human is. But he answered wisely. He surprised them. They wanted him to reprimand these new speakers, put them in line. "My Lord Moses, stop them." Moses celebrated instead. "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put the Spirit on all of them." Frankly, we like things neat. We all do. We like our God in a sturdy box where we might visit when it's convenient. We want those uneducated fishermen to hush up and not pretend they have something to say. We want the Galileans speaking Aramaic like they should. We want everything simple and reliable and boring. We want everyone in their places, and the Holy Spirit does not care. Our God blows the lid off any box, flattens it, turns it into a dance floor. God will do what God will do, no matter what. Some people like them. We've all seen apocalyptic movies. After the end of civilization, survivors fight over the scraps and the biggest, meanest dog is in charge. Everyone listens, everyone obeys him due to fear and coercion. Those who ignore the big dog are hurt or deprived. Is that the kind of leader we want, though? By contrast, on Pentecost, what happened in Jerusalem? Imagine traveling to Jerusalem yourself today. You are walking down the streets alone, hoping to soak up some of the atmosphere of this holy city when you hear a sound like a mighty whirlwind. It should be scary, but it isn't. You head that direction and you hear the eager babbling of a crowd of thousands. You cannot resist getting closer. You recognize fellow travelers. You see that Japanese couple from your hotel, that retired teacher from Sweden, and that group of young Africans. They're all looking up toward the speakers. However, the speakers, the leaders, are all talking at once. A conflicting cacophony of speech all mixed together, yet all the listeners are riveted, and you begin to pick out streams that you can comprehend. Each person is drawn toward a speaker speaking their own native tongue. Suddenly you hear the German that you remember from your grandparents and a little bit of that Hungarian you heard your favorite uncle speaking. Better still, in perfect English, you hear the story of creation, how we were made in the image of God, Oh. And now here is the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And now the journey of Ruth and Naomi, of Deborah, the brave, great judge. Then stories of King David, his powerful faith, his conversations with Yahweh. Now you hear from the Psalms, the ancient songs of lament, praise, thanksgiving, and wonder. You're still marveling at these raggedly dressed speakers. The speaker of English, he begins to talk about a humble birth in Bethlehem, with angels saying this birth was good news for all people. As poor as these tattered men and women, Jesus, or Yeshua, grew up learning to work with his hands like his Abba, a carpenter. But then he began to work wonders. He often fed thousands of people who had come to hear him. He healed the sick and relieved the suffering of those who were possessed. Even when he became a great teacher, he held children in his arms. He sat down and ate with sinners. Jesus even taught women, youth, and the poorest of the poor as if everyone mattered. He knew the sacred scriptures inside and out, taught with authority, even correcting the lawyers who knew everything. This Yeshua, Jesus, taught his followers to love and care for everyone, even outsiders, even enemies. How crazy is that? He taught forgiveness, forgiving over and over and over. Wild notion. And he never let his followers hurt anyone. Not in pressing crowds, not to protect themselves, not even when soldiers came to execute Jesus himself. Here in Jerusalem, these leaders kept telling these unbelievable stories. They tell them as truth, as real life experiences, as if they witnessed these things themselves. But that cannot be. It was so long ago and such exaggerated tales. Impossible to believe, really. But we all hold our breath silent to catch every word. This captivated crowd of thousands, the man speaking English goes on. He says he watched Jesus being killed, executed. Later, he helped carry his broken body. Then days later, Jesus came to them. Yeshua, he calls him in his native tongue. In a locked room where they were all hidden in fear, Jesus appeared to them and whispered, "Peace, and do not be afraid," in every person's ear. This Jesus who had been killed was alive. He ate and drank with them. He reminded them about their God of love, forgiveness, and peace, and told them they had work to do. Standing there, shoulder to shoulder in Jerusalem, you return to your own thoughts for just a moment. You've gone to church since you were a child. You've done all the shoulds. You paid your offerings and you volunteered your share. Never before, though, never had the stories burned in your heart like this. Never had you known they actually happened. Never had you imagined this fiery fervor. You must go back and share these true life stories of God's gracious power and of this gentle, joy-filled man who carried the Spirit of God, who bore so much of the God light that it burned within him. It leaked from his very pores. The Spirit shone so brightly through Jesus that those nearest him were still alight in his absence in this 21st century dusty Jerusalem square. Just standing here in this crowd listening, it seems your heart is full to bursting. You feel warm, content, safe, and And can it be you feel held standing here in this crowd of strangers, secure and loved? You cannot wait to go back and tell your family. Even those on your plane will hear every word. All these marvelous stories of wonder and hope. Your friends will hear every word, every impression. Everyone will know all about this man called Yeshua, Jesus, the man of Nazareth, who shone the light of God for all the world to feel. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Leo Tolstoy, the great Russian writer, wrote, "Just as one candle lights another and can light thousands of other candles, so one heart illuminates another heart and can illuminate thousands of other hearts. Let the Spirit shine in you for all to see. Amen."